A father and his young son were sitting at a booth at McDonald's. They had the day to themselves, just some father-son bonding time, and dad had just bought his boy an order of fries and a Coke. While they were visiting, as dads do, dad reached over to snitch a few French fries from his son's tray when the son abruptly pulled the fries away. "Hey," said the boy, "those are my fries." Dad did a double take for a moment, couldn't quite believe what he just heard, and then, instead of following his first instinct to rip the fries from his son's hand and stuff every one of them in his own mouth, dad began to reflect a bit, think about his son, think about his son's reaction, and he began to say some things to himself that I want to pass on to you this morning. The first thing he thought was this: apparently my son doesn't understand. I'm the source of those fries. 5 minutes earlier, we went up to the counter together and I reached in my pocket and I pulled out some money and I put it on that counter, and that attendant gave my son a large order of fries, and here my son sits without any understanding that the reason he has those fries is because of me. Ever said that, Dad? Not only am I the source of all those fries, but he doesn't understand that I'm the dad. And if I want to, I can reach over and take those fries away from him. Or if I want to, I can go back up to the counter, hand the attendant my payment, and have McDonald's bury him in more fries than he could ever eat. I can leave him barren of fries or buried in fries. And then he thought, you know, my son doesn't understand. I don't need his French fries. If I want to, I can go up to the counter and get some fries for myself. And I can sit down and I can have my own French fries. And as the dad reflected back on that son's inability to give back to the source of his fries, he concluded, as a dad, it's not really his fries that I want. I wanted his willingness to share them with me. How many of you can identify with that? Amen. How many of you know God takes us to McDonald's? In fact, if I had the nerve, I'd title today's message, "The God of the Fries." If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, King David, king of Israel, is wrapping up a big fat offering campaign. An offering campaign for a building fund. It was a capital campaign of sorts. And God had put it in David's heart to prepare for the building of a temple for the worship of the Lord, the God of Israel. And under God's direction, David's son and successor, Solomon, was to be the one who would actually oversee the construction of the temple. But since it had been in David's heart to build the temple, God allowed for David to make necessary preparation for the construction of the temple. And that involved not only developing the plans for the temple itself and the procurement of some of the materials, but the raising of the finances for the construction of Israel's temple as well. The campaign is coming to a successful close, but in his closing prayer and with some closing remarks, David points the people of God again to three truths about God that will need to be remembered if God's people are going to respond appropriately. Things they are going to need to remember in order to pass the test when God takes them to McDonald's. When God the Father reaches across the table for a few fries off the plate, here are some truths God's people need to know, whether it's the people that David first spoke to many centuries ago or the people that I'm privileged to speak to here today. First, we must know of God's power. We must know of God's power. Specifically, we need to know that God is the one who provides. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God our Father of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything." Everybody say everything. "Everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from" what? "You. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Now, I'll just say it to you like this. If those verses aren't a declaration of God's all-encompassing power, I don't know what is. When we ask ourselves the question, does God have the ability to give us what we need? Can God really come through in my circumstances, in my situation? Verses like these answer with a resounding yes. We make God out to be such a pauper sometimes. We let the distractions of this world and the distortions of this age somehow let us believe maybe that if medical science can't come through, it can't be done. We've heard differently this morning, haven't we? That if somehow political power can't accomplish it, it won't be accomplished. That if somehow money can't buy it, it can't be had. But let me just remind you, there are things that medical science can't do that God can do. There are things political power can't do that God can do. There are things that money can't buy that God can provide. Things that remain fully within His authority as Lord God Almighty, ruler of heaven and earth. Don't make Him to be a pauper. I think I've told you this story at some point, and I may not have all the details straight, but I remember my dad used to tell a story about an acquaintance of his, and this fellow was a single man, and he didn't have anything to do with his money but save it. You know, some people who look the most impoverished are sometimes the most wealthy. One day he went shopping, and as I remember the story, he went shopping for a 1969 Plymouth GTX. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I rode in the car once. It had one of these air grabber hoods, you know, it'd pop up and, oh, that was just meaty, you know? Real man's muscle car. But nobody told Chet. See, he was a single man. He didn't have some woman to tell him how to dress. Nobody told Jet that when you go into a new car dealership planning to pay cash for your new automobile, you should dress the part so people would recognize your ability to pay and therefore treat you right. So Chet just went as Chet. Dirty shirt, tattered jeans, left the first two salesmen polite enough but pretty indifferent and busy with other things. And a third salesman saw past the tattered jeans. And I suspect that the indifference of the first couple of salesmen mutated to a few other emotions when in that dealer's showroom, they saw Chet pull out a fresh stack of cash and pay cash for a new GTX. Those salesmen sold Chet short. They let what others thought and even what they'd seen before shape their perceptions before they could even grasp the power of the one who walked among them. And so do we. So do we. My friend, let me remind you that God is no pauper. That God is not impoverished. That God is not limited, that His power is without end. He is able, if God is ever to do all He is able to do among us, we must remember God's power. Got to know of God's power. But David's words remind us of more than God's power. They remind us that we must know of God's provision. Not only of God's ability to provide, but of His willingness to provide. We must know that anything He has asked of us today, He will provide for us today. Listen again to David's words beginning in verse 14. "But who am I?" Remember, he is wrapping up an enormous capital campaign, gathering resources for the construction of one of the most opulent temples the world has ever seen. Who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. Everything comes from you. And we have only given you what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. All our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, where does it come from? It comes from your hand, and all of it. Everybody say all of it. All of it belongs to you. God never asks for fries he didn't already buy. Let me ask you, and maybe this presumes that you operate how we do sometimes, but what do you do with your kids, you know, Christmas time and birthdays and events like that? Among other things, you teach them this principle that God never asks for fries he didn't already buy. You teach them this principle without even knowing it. You take them to Walmart, or you take them to Kmart, or you take them, if you're really foolish, you take them to the mall. You give them $10 or $20, or maybe you're really opulent, you give them $100, I don't know. And you say, now this is for you to go buy mommy's present with. This is for you to go buy daddy's present. You give them $10 to go buy mom's present, you give them $100 to go buy daddy's present. From your own hand. From your own hand, they have received. And from what you have given to them, you look to them to give back to you. And why do you do that? Because you couldn't figure out what you needed on your own? Because you couldn't find what you needed on your own? Absolutely not. In fact, you know it's probably likely that you're going to have to work awfully hard to figure out why it is they thought you needed what they bought for you with the money you gave them, if you can even figure out what it is when you open it. Right? Why do I need this? If you know what it is. You don't give to them because you can't figure out what you need on your own. You don't give them something to give back to you because you couldn't find what you needed on your own. You give to them to give. Let's just save that for a minute. Suffice to say, you wouldn't send your children out on a mission to supply you with a gift without knowing that they had the provision to do so. You wouldn't send your children out on a mission to supply you with a gift without knowing they had the provision to do so. You don't send your kids to the store for a gallon of milk without seeing that they've got the money to make the purchase, right? And neither would God. The truth is, we not only need a fresh revelation of God's power, his ability to give, we also need a fresh revelation of his provision. His willingness to give. We have to know the power of God. We have to know the provision of God. But David's words also suggest we have to know the purpose of God. We must know not only of his ability to give and of his willingness to give, but also his reason to give. Back to verse 14, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I'll tell you that I think God's purpose is more revealed kind of in the undercurrent of this passage than it is revealed on the surface. But let your heart sort of listen to these words as it's read, and I think you'll see what I'm seeing. Verse 14, who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. Isn't that just a great simple phrase? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand. All of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in their hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you, and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, your requirements, your decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Those phrases that pop out to my heart, at least as I read through this passage, all point to the purpose of God. They point to the transitory, the temporary nature of the here and now. We're aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. They point to how man looks on the outward appearance, but how God looks on the heart. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. They point to God's desire to have his character formed in us. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever. Keep their hearts loyal to you. Give my son Solomon wholehearted devotion to keep your commands and requirements and decrees. And all of that for me sort of converges to a point to point us to God's purpose in providing us with whatever he provides us with. God gives to us to recreate in us his giving character. God gives to us to recreate in us the very kind of generosity that marks his heart and actions towards us. I stopped short a few minutes ago and failed to answer my own question. Why would you give your son or your daughter a few dollars on some special occasion to spend on a gift for you? Maybe something you don't need. Maybe something you'll never use. Why do we go through that kind of a process with our kids? Because we want to help them learn to give. We want them to experience the joy of giving. Let me ask you another question, you parents with experience in this realm. How pleased are you when they get it? Sometimes you kind of got to search, but how happy are you when you get a little glimpse, when you get a little flash of light, when you get a little glimmer of hope that maybe they have begun to learn that it really is more blessed to give than to receive? Many years ago now, and musicians, if you'll come back, I'll tell a story and I'll be done. This was many years ago now. I know this because my children were still very young, and so was I. My wife and her family, on the occasion of a much earlier birthday, pooled their resources to get me a really nice gift. They bought me an air compressor for my birthday. My children wanted to be involved in this gift giving. Debbie tells me that when she suggested to Andrew that he could just put his name on the card with the compressor, and that would be all that was required, that he, with tears, protested that he was big enough to use his allowance to buy his dad a gift. Yeah. Bought me some drill bits from his own money. Jenna chose to pitch into the gift. If I remember and calculate correctly, and I went back to look for the exact note, and I can't find it. But I think she was 6 years old, and this will tell you a little bit about both of us. She had $15 coming due from past due allowance from her parents. And Jenna wrote this note in my birthday card about her contribution. Dad, I will pay as much as you want, as long as it is on 15. I'll pay as much as you want, as long as it is on 15. I think I'll get $15 from my allowance. You hear the message of that card? And yeah, I'm biased. This is my little girl. But do you hear the message of that card. Here's what I've got. That also happens to be exactly what you can have. I think I've got 15. So you can have it all if it'll help. That's the heart of a giver. Friend, when God reaches for a few of my fries, that's the message I want Him to receive from me. That's the message I want Him to receive from me. Not just the power of God, His ability to provide, and not just the provision of God, His willingness to provide, but the purpose of God. He pours out to us so that He can recreate His character in us. And so when the opportunity to give comes, the question is not ever how little can I get away with, but how much can I offer? Now we're going to take an offering. But I'm telling you, if you think this is about money, I got to preach again because you don't get it yet. This is about who we are as God's redeemed people who has given Him His very self for us. It is about what He supplies through the jobs we hold and the paychecks we get and the resources we handle and the gifts we receive and it is about that, but it's huger than that. It's poor language because the word doesn't exist, but it's good truth. My hope today is that what sometimes might feel like an obligation or what sometimes might feel like a routine, instead today can somehow be an expression, God, You've been so generous to us. We want to live generously towards You. Ushers, come, prepare to receive this morning's offering. I hope you know ushers don't take an offering. They receive it. You give it. You don't pay your tithes. You give your tithe. We are offering a gift to our Father. Would you stand with me, church? I've asked the worship team to lead us in something celebratory. Something that celebrates the goodness, the generosity of God. Some of you don't have to give. That's cool. Some of you give other Sundays, you give a certain day of the month or something. That's cool. Because I'm telling you again, it's not about the offering. We're going to take an offering because some of you, it give you an opportunity just to say to God, You can have 15. You can have what I'm getting. You can have everything I have because I belong to You. But you can say that even if you don't have a dime in your pocket today. You can say it with your heart to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, from whom every good and perfect gift comes. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for this morning and all You have already accomplished among us. Even for just these sacred moments, we owe You everything, but You have been so generous towards us in ways that couldn't be captured in an hour or two on a Sunday morning. I pray that the gifts we offer would indeed be a celebration of Your generosity and a recreating of Your generous character in us. I pray it extend beyond whatever we might put in an offering plate to capture the whole of who we are. Lord, You can have whatever You want as long as it is on 15, because all that we have belongs to You. I pray this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. And everybody said, Amen. Help me sing and celebrate while you give this morning. Come on.